It's April 25th, 2012. This is the Hell Yeah Show. Hello and welcome to the Hell Yeah Show. I'm Alan.
I'm Emery.
And we are bringing you best practices for fine living, advice on how to not let technology ruin your day. Emery, what are we telling them?
From my cold, dead hands.
Yeah, you're evoking Charlton Heston there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the Fujitsu scan snap.
For good reason. Yeah. Oh, for the Fujitsu scan snap, which we will talk about.
I gotta tell you, if my wife would let me, this thing has been asking me to take it to bed with me every night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we will want to get deep into your relationship with your Fujitsu scan snap a little bit later. Before we get to that, though, what's going on this week besides the scan snap?
I was delighted to see that Google is directly selling a mobile phone again.
Yeah, the Samsung Galaxy Nexus unlocked for $399.
I think it's great. Yeah. That's a nice handset. And if you're an Android person, it's pretty much the one to get, right? I mean, it's definitely got some pretty broad appeal. And since you're getting the model directly from Google, that's unlocked. It's also uncustomized.
Mm. So
it doesn't have all that operator crap on it.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've heard, the sort of general advice for Android handsets is either A, get the one that Google's selling, or B, get a different one and immediately root that thing and put a standard Google OS onto it.
That would be, yeah, I think most people would want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I should say most enthusiasts, right? Because, like, there are some people, like one of my sisters, who has a Motorola, who the hell even knows now? Like,
yeah.
One of their dozen.
We're going to play that game later in the show.
Yeah. she's talking on the RuPaul 5000, but it has, like, this like gooey shell that sits on top of like Moto Blur. It sits on top of Android. So they have like this very different user interface that's kind of bolted onto it.
And it's generally not very good. Or she likes it?
She likes it.
Oh, wow.
I would probably, you know, I would hate it. But
yeah.
The stuff that it does, I mean, she actually seems to really enjoy. So I think there's definitely a segment of the population that likes that kind of thing. But
Well,
it's definitely not for everybody.
The other interesting thing here is that they're selling this through Google Play, which is their
new... What is that? Can you tell me what Google Play even is?
It's their... From what I understand, it's basically the replacement for a combination of the Android market, the Google Music store, and I guess like the YouTube rental service? I don't know.
What?
Yeah, you can like rent movies on YouTube now or buy them or... I don't know. Things have been happening over there.
Like
yeah.
Real movies or like pandas?
No, like real movies. I searched for Wag the Dog the other day on YouTube, and the trailer came up.
Have you seen that before?
Yeah, it's great.
Did I talk to you about that?
Maybe.
That's one of my favorite movies.
It's fantastic. It's really, really great. If you haven't seen it, look up some, you know, type Wag the Dog in YouTube, and just like watch the trailer or something. The premise is fantastic.
Some of De Niro's best work too, in my opinion.
Yeah. He
plays like a spin guy. I mean, it's basically like he gets called in because the president does something stupid, and then he engineers like catastrophe after catastrophe. It will turn you into an absolute cynic about anything that you see in the media.
And it's also hilarious at the same time. So.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
So anyway, but the they're selling that sort of stuff. They're selling media on Google Play, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they are now selling a cell phone, which is, from what I can tell, the only physical object available on Google Play. And I'm wondering if this is... They've now got this shop devices category. And I'm wondering if this is the start of, some sort of Google-controlled marketplace for physical items.
Huh.
I don't know. We'll see. But that's the other thing that's in Google Play is the Android app marketplace. Yeah, so they're selling plenty of virtual goods and then this one physical good, which seems really weird to me.
Well, I mean, they had Google TV at one point. Like they've dipped their toes, and this isn't the first time they sold a phone either.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
It is interesting that this is the one product that they ship, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and typically they're selling it through a third party. You know, you don't buy a Google TV directly from Google.
That's true.
So I think this is interesting that they are selling this directly from themselves.
Again, I really do feel like it's the enthusiast market that they're going after, and it's also because they need a development platform. Huh. You know, if they want to encourage people to write software for Android, they need there needs to be a better way for someone to get their hands on good supported hardware.
Yeah.
That's kind of like a reference platform for Google.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in this case, it's the Galaxy Nexus line from Samsung. I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense for them to do that.
Yeah. And the no nonsense, just, hey, it's unlocked. It works on any GSM network. Just buy it and use it with what you want. I think that's super appealing too. So,
well,
what?
It's nice in theory, but
it's nice in theory.
The two GSM networks in the United States kind of suck. I mean,
that's my, like, I was actually briefly considered, hey, what if I were to get one of these? And then but AT&T or T-Mobile? So, anyway, I heard you watched Homeland.
Have you heard anything about this show?
No, I do not know what this is.
Claire Danes plays a CIA officer, or an intelligence officer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a season, and it's on Showtime.
Oh, it's a TV show.
Yeah, I watched all the episodes. There's only one.
So you just watched a very long movie, is what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. Now, the premise is that she's an intelligence officer, and she thinks that there's a terrorist attack imminent, and that apparently one of her suspects is an American POW who is missing in Iraq for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she believes is like part of this broad conspiracy plot. It's a fascinating show. Okay. I really liked it a lot.
Right.
Great acting, good script. The level of difficulty for the show is compounded by the fact that she is wildly bipolar and taking a lot of medication.
Okay.
So, you know, at various points throughout the show, she's like, you know, because she's definitely like seeing conspiracies, and she's like, you know, come on, you know, am I crazy? And everyone's like, well, yeah, you know, like, yes, that's kind of, you know, yes, you're absolutely crazy, but I understand what you're saying.
Right, right.
So there was that. I played some Mass Effect 2 and caught up on that a little bit. I finally tidied up my loyalty missions, mm-hmm. so I think it was under control.
So and now you're ready to do some stuff.
I'm right on the verge of starting the suicide mission. I'm like doing one last pass to pick up some like ore and stuff so I can get upgrades for my ship.
Uh-huh.
I go through because then I think I'll be done.
All right. Yeah. I mean, you gotta be way careful if you want to make it through all that with everyone alive.
What do you mean?
I won't say any more, but I'm just be careful, right?
Well, I woke up the Geth.
I woke up the Geth. Oh, yeah. No, that's good. That's good. But I mean, you just think about, you're going to have to make some decisions. Think about them pretty carefully. And maybe you'll just manage to make it through that alive with everyone alive. So,
well, what if I don't care if everyone's alive? Cause it's like,
oh, then just blow through that stuff.
Cause I think, you know, I really probably wouldn't cry if like, who's the big tall guy with the sniper rifle. I don't really care about him. Gera or something.
Garrus?
Yeah. I don't know.
He's like the fan favorite character. What do you?
He's kind of a tool.
All right,
but I love the I like Legion. I like Jack. I like the weird Justicar chick. I like her.
Mm.
I don't remember her character, but I like her a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Who is either the daughter or the mother, depending on.
I kept the mother. I wasn't gonna do that. That sounded stupid. And then plus, I kind of liked the mother. I thought she was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, cool. Yeah, I thought she was really nice. You saw the State of the Web comic that the Oatmeal had.
This is fantastic. this is if you have no other reason to go to the show notes for today's episode, this is the reason. You'll wanna go to show.hellyeah.com, find this episode, season 2, episode 9, and check out the State of the Web by the Oatmeal. It's this really,
so
really
good.
It's great. It's so just dead on in its I don't want to say skewering. I mean, it's kind of it's loving jesting at the current state of the internet right now.
Yeah, well, maybe some of it's loving and some of it's very scornful.
Yeah, but yeah. And it's just so on point. Like I everything they say here is a really acute summary of what is going on in that particular area. So, and it's kind of it's presented in infographic form, sort of. So it's very it's a you know really quick read and is a lot of fun to scroll through. So
my favorite part about this entire strip, this whole vertical, it's basically like one of those big long huge verticals. I love the part where it's talking about how you go to read an article on Facebook and it pops up with like this asinine, you know, sign up with your account and use this app to read this thing. And then, you know, we get all your information and blah, 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 blah. Or even worse, like it's posting crap to your Facebook page. Other people see it's like, oh yeah, so-and-so's like, it's like, and it's always things like Yahoo. Cause then they're like, oh yeah, you can also sign in with your Facebook account. Like, why don't you merge these two things? And why don't we have, you know, and then it's basically saying, yeah, when I see that big box, it makes me go to Google and then type in like the name of the article and then get the first hit on Google and then go to Google. And then you never see things through Yahoo. And so, you know, the joke's on them because like Yahoo is going right down the toilet because precisely because of this, like nobody ever goes to their site to do anything because it's, you know, stupid and a hassle.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, the MySpace effect. I mean, it's kind of like what we were talking about before the show where you were saying, you know, the whole Facebook thing and how people are saying like this last quarter they had some negative growth and like what does that mean?
It's you know, it's because of stuff like this. It's I mean, it's like the all this junk, you know, this like I just if you read through this this series of events, it's like what this thing is, you're trying to read this news article and this window pops up telling you that yeah, you can click this button to read the article, but if you do that, then you share your basic info, your email address, your birthday, and your likes with the Yahoo app.
Yeah, which is stupid.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
So that you can read an article about, you know, 15 ways to make your boyfriend not leave you.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure this stuff works. Like, I'm sure people just click that button.
It doesn't work that well.
I guess. Yeah. given Yahoo's current condition.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I'm sure this stuff drives lots of people to click that button.
Well,
but those people, there's no way they're satisfied with that experience. They're not thinking, oh great, yeah, okay, now I'm in the Yahoo system and now I can do all this cool stuff. Like, yeah, no,
yeah, it's like the other thing though is that Yahoo doesn't really do anything anymore. Like
everything that Yahoo does
now is like, you know, they do the email for Comcast or whoever, right? Like some of the big ISPs, like AT&T's cable service, like they did the email for that. Like there were some ISPs that partnered with them early on. They have like some direct stuff. The web
they still own Flickr.
The Flickr thing.
And Delicious.
but you'll note, I mean, they started sacking all the people at Flickr that knew anything, right?
Yeah, I don't.
All the support people that got fired.
It was really hard to follow that stuff because it's like the Flickr community gets really, really ridiculous about that sort of stuff. Like they get super defensive.
I used to be a paid member of Flickr and I really liked Flickr a lot. But once Yahoo took it over, it started sucking. And you know, it's like at this point though, when they start forcing people out, they don't really have a strong plan. And I mean, as far as I can tell, the entirety of Yahoo is like two dozen guys and a couple of cron jobs that runs the entire operation now.
That's not a bad analysis. Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You have like, you know, your executive team. And then what?
Yeah. I mean, who's
left working there now? Like, what do they need someone to do?
Yeah. There's a great interview by Kara Swisher.
In the morning, and it's pretty much business as usual over there.
Now, there's an interview by Kara Swisher of All Things D, where she interviewed, I think it was David Yang and then someone else at Yahoo, and asked them, so what is Yahoo?
God,
and they couldn't answer.
Well, it used to be really clear what Yahoo was.
Yeah,
it was a directory.
Yeah.
And that's why it was different. And in a lot of ways, it was better for certain because it was a directory service. People would get their site listed there, and then if you were curious about topics, you could go browse these topics, and it was actually pretty cool. And then things started going away from directory and into search and index, which, you know, is a logical thing to do. But Yahoo had to accommodate that.
Yeah.
And then they had to buy up everyone that they could buy up that was competing with them. So they bought Overture, which had like an online advertising thing. And then they bought, I mean, I can't even tell. Yahoo had to have acquired at least 24 companies.
Yeah, sure.
Then sits on them. And the only, it's like, there are a lot of companies that do this where they buy something because they want that business, but they don't really want to do anything with it other than get the revenue. Like they're not going to invest in it.
What's going to happen with Google and Motorola Mobility? I mean, are they going to do anything with that?
to be fair, I don't know what Google's capable of doing there, because Google's done several acquisitions. I mean, they picked up ICA, which does like the flight and travel stuff, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And they bought up parts of Motorola.
Bought up, Apture. That's a kind of minor one, but
some of their acquisitions have been. Never mind. I was thinking something else.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of the stuff that goes into Google becomes parts of other products.
Yeah.
Not so much. You know what I mean? Like
a lot of those are talent acquisitions. A lot of those are like that. You've got this really compelling startup team, and Google likes the engineers, and they pay some amount per engineer, and they don't really care so much about the product.
That's true. That's what happened with a couple of the guys on the Google Talk side came from a small company. There's two brothers, and they're on Rhode Island, and they had a service that was it rode on top of the Google Chat XMPP service, because they had a Jabber news service that was essentially like a news reader with presence and messaging, and then they sold like a Jabber like a web. It was written in Flash, I think. It was an application that let you do basically XMPP presence and messaging and things like that without having to install like a thick client on things. So you could just go to this web page and do it. And I think they sold it it did pretty well from what I understand. But Google bought them not to do this web chat thing, but because they wanted the guys that made the web chat thing to come work at Google.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of stuff happens not just at Google. A lot of companies will do that sort of thing. But I think that like the Yahoo acquisitions we're talking about were probably not, from what your descriptions sound like, those were probably not talent acquisitions. They actually wanted to do something with those businesses. They just didn't.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what you like the Flickr stuff in particular. Like, they wanted that service for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's something they wanted to get into. But again, it's like, spin it off already. Like, what are they doing to it other than just holding it back?
Yeah. Other than just attaching a Yahoo logo to the Flickr logo.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
I don't get it at all, but I shouldn't be too mean. I mean, I think I know the CISO over there. Because he used to work at someplace else I worked at, and he went to go work there.
Yeah,
and I said, it's probably him and 24 people.
Yeah. I don't know. I have serious concerns about the future of that company. So
they have a lot of assets, though. Like, if you were interested in like just in infrastructure and and there's an awful lot of stuff going on there. I mean, don't let the fact that I think the vast majority of it is completely automated, like, that, I don't say that to, like, lower its value or degrade it in any way. That's actually, it's pretty impressive when you can get things to that point. But for Christ's sakes, move on to something else. Right. Like,
do something crazy. Do something cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a Facebook app that gets in the way of people reading news articles.
Yeah. It's really silly.
Anyway, but that is one of many very funny and interesting tidbits in this the State of the Web by the Oatmeal. So definitely worth checking out.
Big fan.
I'm glad you you posted that up there this week. I definitely enjoyed it. So
good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
There was. Have you had coconut water before?
Once, and I did not enjoy it.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Once I've had coconut. Like coconut milk from a coconut, like actually,
I'm talking about coconut water.
Yeah, but then there's this coconut water stuff, which I, at one point I thought seemed like a really good idea, and I think I bought like at least two containers of it, and two like little, they weren't that big, but because I'm like, I want lots of coconut water. That sounds like a great thing. And I got like halfway through the first one, I'm like, I am not having this.
You didn't like it? What did you like about it?
I don't entirely remember. It was not an appealing experience overall.
Okay, I haven't had like plain coconut water, but I get like the flavored coconut water.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Really?
I find it very refreshing.
Huh.
And it's like, you know, super healthy.
Yeah, yeah, I guess it is.
There's tons and tons of vitamins, and there's, God, what is it, potassium? It's got probably a metric assload of potassium.
Yeah, I don't know. I just did, you know, just the taste did not appeal to me. So
yeah. It's so expensive though. That's what kills me.
Oh my God, is it expensive? Yeah.
But they had a like the Sobe Life Water, whatever. Like I usually don't buy stuff like that.
So let's talk for a moment about boutique waters.
okay.
Because to me, like, I don't know.
It looked like a leprechaun to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's so I could so easily say like all that stuff is a scam. And then, like, I've made one of my only posts on Google Plus in a long time to say that the San Pellegrino flavored waters are really good.
Oh, they're really good. Those are exceptional.
They're incredible, right?
Yeah, but this is what I liked about this one though is that it's like it's a little bit of coconut water and then like regular flavored water.
Okay,
so it's not as expensive. So like the bottle, like what size is this? 20 ounces. Like a 20-ounce bottle of coconut water would probably cost you like $7.
That's not bad. Yeah, I could live with that. I don't know. That's okay, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's fine for you. But you're the kid at Stanford.
In the world of boutique waters, that seems affordable.
Sure, but the Life Water with the coconut water in it that I like because it is expensive is like, you know, $2 for this.
Okay.
It was just
expensive. All right. I guess you're in. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I would never consume boutique water at the rate at which I would consume normal water. So if you're looking to do that, yeah, I guess you're probably going to want to go more in the $2 range.
If I told you how much soda I drink a day, you would probably want to put me in a home or something.
The equivalent of five soda cans.
More than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Less than 10? Uh-oh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, what is it, 8 ounces?
Are those 8 ounce cans? Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm probably at like 3.
So wait, 8 ounces, and how many cans? 10 cans, so that would be 80 ounces.
I mean, if it's all diet soda, you're basically drinking water.
It would be less. Yeah, it's diet soda. It would be less than 10 cans, but just barely.
Yeah,
it would be like,
if it's diet soda, there's no issue with that. You, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as the research that I've seen is concerned, you are basically drinking water.
I am pretty sure it is destroying my enamel. But I can't prove it.
Okay.
but what I can also say though is that my favorite Fancy Lad water, and whenever if I ever see it anywhere, I always get it.
Yeah.
I love Voss.
I have never seen or heard of, or let alone drunk Voss.
You've seen it before.
Are you sure?
They serve it in like these. It comes in glass bottles.
Okay.
And that's why I like it so much. But it's also delicious and very refreshing.
Okay.
But they have a sparkling one, and then they have a still one. But there was a restaurant in Providence that I used to go to that served it, and it was like the only place I've ever been that actually carried it, except for like some of the hotels in Vegas. But I don't know what it is, but it is fantastic. But the San Pellegrino that you're talking about, I love that.
The Aranciata Limonata.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Had the orangey one.
Yeah.
I don't know what they have.
It's amazing stuff. There's a lemon one and an orange one, and they're both fantastic. So.
Yeah, I think you can even make like a if you have that and then you pour it into like orange juice. So it's like just a little fizzy.
Oh, I should try
that.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah.
If you don't like, I mean, I like really carbonated things, but some people don't.
Yeah. Sure.
But I think that stuff is super delicious.
Speaking of super delicious, hard drives.
Yeah.
I don't.
I had another. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. I had another hard drive fail. It's a 1 terabyte Seagate. It's in my NAS. It's one of the ones that I've replaced a couple times now. So whatever it is that's happening to these, I don't know what. But
you are, I mean, this is, you've got the Midas touch of hard drives. I mean, are you like rubbing your feet on the carpet, building up static charge, and then handling these hard drives or something?
I didn't even think that was bad. I thought that was just something people did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's good practice before handling a hard drive.
Hit it with jumper cables.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I'm doing to them. But I will say that I've been spending an awful lot of time making sweet, sweet love to my Fujitsu scans now.
All right.
I have more paper through this thing than I even... I don't even know.
Tell me a tale of love and Fujitsu scan snaps.
Here's the reason I love it so much. I have a lot of anxiety about forgetting things, and I'm always afraid that I'm going to lose a memory.
Okay.
Or something horrible is going to happen. I'm not going to know about a note that someone left me or a card that I got in the fifth grade. Like the kind of crap that you know how I know that I'm like one bad day away from becoming a hoarder is that like I walk around the house and my immediate reaction to like a pile of crap in the corner is not like, oh, I gotta do something about that. It's like, oh yeah, that's my pile of crap in the corner. Like,
right.
That's where I keep stuff. You know, like I have stacks of things. I got boxes. There are so many things that I have like loosely organized in that they are in folders.
Right.
The Fujitsu scan snap lets me get rid of all of it.
Because, I mean, that stuff only has... there's no value to the paper incarnation of that stuff.
No, it's just what's on it.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things that my wife and I do all the time is we like to leave each other little 3x5 cards that we write notes on, especially when someone's traveling. So, like, when she goes to a conference, like, in the pockets of her coat.
There was a time where I did that, yeah.
It's a lot of fun, and I think you should start again. But there are a few things better than finding one of those.
Yeah, yeah. It's
so
great.
I have, you know, we both of us have like just a ton of them that we've collected from each other. And it occurred to me, you know, like, now that's something that I probably am not going to throw away because, you know, not until we get divorced someday, you know.
And then you burn them all, yeah.
Yeah, I use them to start the car fire. Claim all of us. So, but that's kind of a bad example. But those, like, I can scan them and I keep them forever. So if something ever happened to them, I still have the handwritten card.
Right.
But a lot of it is like things like letters or photos that I'm not gonna like take the time to go through and like really make sure I've got super high, because the scan snap's not a great photo scanner. It scans up to 600.
It's intended for. Text
it's
documents.
A document. It is a dupe. Is a full duplex. That means front and back. Everyone.
Yeah.
A desktop document scanner. It's small. It's like. It is not even. It's not. It's probably exactly 11 inches long.
So is there a specific model of this you have, or is it the Fujitsu ScanSnap?
I have the S1300.
The S1300. All right.
They have a bigger one that does that's a little bit faster. This one does 8 pages per minute, which I thought was going to be kind of limiting, but
that's pretty fast.
No, and here's the thing: is that most of the time when I'm scanning stuff, well, here's the other thing too, is that I use the OCR software so that if I scan stuff into it, it leaves me with PDFs that get indexed.
Oh, that you can search.
Yeah, so I can put like a receipt from Best Buy through my ScanSnap. And then it automatically gets put into a folder or a database or wherever I want to store it. I use something called DevonThink, but you can do this with anything. And then if I just go into like Spotlight or whatever and I type in Best Buy, like it finds that receipt.
Oh my God, I need to get one of these.
it is seriously saving my life. Like I think that this is probably the best thing I've ever purchased.
Wow. And,
yeah. It is
better than any bag, better than any laptop.
Okay, I'll retract. It's certainly better than buying groceries this week. Let's say that.
All right. How much was it?
Oh, it was like $200.
Okay.
You can get them on Amazon. They're 200 something. Now there's a couple, but the 1500 is like a little bit bigger. This one I think is fine. They say it's portable. I don't know that I would like take it with me. I mean, if I had a big if I routinely traveled with a lot of accessories for a computer, then I'd be able to, but I certainly wouldn't take it anywhere.
Yeah.
But what I love about those is that it has front and back, because I already had like a multifunction flatbed / inkjet printer.
But that's such a pain to.
It's a huge pain.
Yeah.
And so it had like a it has a document feeder on it, but it's only one side. So then you got to put in everything, and then you got to put it through.
That's terrible. I mean, then you end up manually feeding everything. Yeah.
Not only that, but then you got to manually stitch together all these documents. So I was spending, like, you know, I had five things to scan. It would take me 40 minutes to get everything done.
Yeah.
And now it takes me 8 seconds. I mean, I put it in the top of the scan stack, I hit the button, and it automatically does what I need to do. I think it's fantastic. It's almost as good as the other thing that I bought from Amazon last week. I don't know what it's actually called, but I call it cat tape.
I was just about to ask you about your cat tape.
So my cat Jonesy, who is a bobtail, she likes to dig at things like around the house, and she's kind of destroyed the carpet in one spot. So we actually patched the carpet, and we've tried putting things on top of it. I've had the sprays. I've done all this crap. It's essentially here's what this stuff is. It's essentially double sided packing tape, and it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just roll it down over wherever you don't want the little bastard clawing at. Because they don't like sticking to things.
Yeah, I imagine.
On that, they're like, all right, you know. So this is the first time that I've had like a scratch and dig deterrent that has actually held up.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's really not a whole lot more than double sided clear tape.
Yeah.
But, it needs to be kind of.
Does that stuff collect a bunch of like dust and junk though?
You know, I'm not sure. I'll find out. Okay. I had it on there for a week. They say that like, you know, you should replace it every few weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's why is that it gets linted or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But, I've been really happy with it. Cause I had a couple of, I wanted this like Nature's something or other spray.
Nature's Miracle.
I think it's the same brand. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's like, I don't know. It didn't really seem to keep her away.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's pretty much all my stuff. I talked a lot.
No, that's fine. Because I don't have much this week. So
you've been Netflixing too.
I've been Netflixing. Yeah, because I've had these. I checked, right? I've had these DVDs out from Netflix since November of last year.
Wow.
Yeah, I've had
a copy of Amelie from like 1999.
So they sent me the DVD that I actually had out was Apocalypse Now, which actually comes on two DVDs. So I had these two separate envelopes.
Was it Apocalypse Now or Apocalypse Now Rideau?
It was both, and I actually ended up watching the original Apocalypse Now.
Okay.
There's
a couple of good things in the extended version.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know. I figured, you know. Might as well just go for the original because you know that's a good baseline at least.
Wrong.
And so I've got these two DVDs for that, each in their own envelope. And then over the holidays, Netflix sent out a bonus disc as just like a thank you, I guess. So I got Trekkies, a documentary about Star Trek fans, and I've had these three DVDs with me for several months, and for some reason have just not felt like watching them. And then I just on Sunday watched them all, and awesome. Returned them. So, yeah. So finally my Netflix queue can move along, but,
good for you.
Yeah, I know. I'm so good at watching those movies.
I think it's great.
What
do you think Apocalypse Now?
Apocalypse. So here's my take on Apocalypse Now. It's like, why? I mean, maybe it's just slipping my memory, but I can't think of a recent movie that was that big budget and that long and simultaneously was that creative and interesting and different and daring.
Yes.
I mean, they spent a lot of money on that movie. It's clear. Like, there are so many shots where there's helicopters exploding. There's, well, you know, the jungle's getting torn up.
When they hit the bridge.
Yeah.
Like, that entire scene is absurd.
To construct those sets, it's incredible, right? The kind of stuff, the kind of money they would have to put into that stuff. And then to have the resulting movie be so interesting and ambiguous and
thought-provoking
and thought-provoking, yeah, like, and not conform to traditional narrative standards was really interesting. And I feel like there have to be examples of that more recently, but I just, you know, it's the kind of thing where like I look at recent high budget movies and I get really depressed about them.
Yeah.
Compared to that baseline.
They are remaking movies now at a record pace.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Movies that aren't even that old. Like, what? Gosh, hold on. Are you? You keep going with your stuff.
I'm okay. Right, well, so let me then talk about Trekkies, which is of course not an example of a super high budget recent release, but which was pretty great. It was they had the Tasha from Next Generation.
Tasha Yar?
Yes, Tasha Yar. The actress who played her did a lot of the interviews, was the actual person interviewing people. And they talked to pretty much everyone, for at least a little bit. Like all the major actors from the original series and Next Generation and Voyager. And it's good. It feels a little bit disjointed at some points, and it also seems surprisingly critical of Trekkie culture, which is there's a lot of reasons to be critical of Trekkie culture, but this didn't seem like the venue for that. Like, this seemed like this should have been this kind of celebration of that stuff, and then it didn't seem like they were paying as much respect as they could have to their interviewees. There were certain times where it really felt like the filmmakers were making fun of the people they were interviewing, which can be entertaining, but it just feels kind of fishy, you know. So, overall, it is an interesting look into fandom. It's an interesting, you compare like 1997 era and before that era fandom with today's fandom, and you realize that it's all pretty much the same. This stuff is not new, you know. The internet fan communities are just in a different medium. They're no significantly different from the analog fan communities of a couple decades ago. So
I am so pumped for God Bless America.
Huh?
Have you seen the trailer for this movie?
No.
You are going to want to see this movie. This is one of the few things that I've been looking forward to out of Hollywood this year.
Okay.
It comes out like May 11th.
Okay.
And I implore you to watch the movie trailer, like at the Apple trailers site. You really need to see the trailer for this movie. It's was it written or directed by Bobcat Goldthwait?
That does not mean anything to me.
Okay.
Oh, but wait, that is an interesting name.
Yeah. He's a stand-up comic. And he's horrible. But this movie looks amazing. So do not let the fact that his name is attached. I mean, I guess it wouldn't, because you don't know who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this movie looks absolutely awesome.
Okay. I'll keep an eye out. That's a good tip.
I may have overstated it. This is gonna be the best movie you'll ever see.
All right. Sounds
no,
good.
I really enjoyed Apocalypse Now, though, and it's hard to have a movie like that now.
It's kind of unfair because it's like that is one of the best films ever made, you know, according to many, you know, diverse sources. So it's kind of hard to say.
Well, that was in 1979, so WTF?
Yeah, but it's kind of like, you know, you can't say, well, hey, you know, how come your movie's not as good as one of the best movies ever made? You know, it's like, okay, well, you know, every movie can't be as good as one of the best movies ever made.
What about Big Mama's House?
Or Coming to America?
Shut up. Amazing.
Okay.
She's your queen to be.
Yeah. Anyway, I really enjoyed it. It's if you haven't seen it, see it. So
that's. I have not received a challenger for my Coming to America.
For the Coming to America challenge, yeah.
But among you. Let me talk to these dozens of cowards, none of whom know Coming to America nearly as well as me.
I don't think be the most knowledgeable Coming to America fan in the world.
I need to find out who wrote that damn movie, and like, I need to shake their hand.
Get them on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably someone really good, because you know that movie was amazing.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
But I'll see.
By some measures. Anyway, and the only other thing I've got this week is, it's actually kind of a last minute addition here, because I thought it was kind of crazy. Intel is making a smartphone, or has made a smartphone, which apparently they've tried to do in the past, but now they're trying again. It's not available in the U.S. It sells for $420 in India. It's got a 1.6 gigahertz single-core hyper-threaded 64-bit x86 CPU.
Really?
Yeah. And maybe Indians will pay $420 for this. I don't...
No.
No? Okay. All right.
There is the largest growing market segment in India is like the mid-range phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is not a mid-range phone.
No. it's kind of weird. It's there's an Ars Technica article linked in the show notes that makes some arguments for why it's actually kind of a good thing, but it seems super weird to me.
I wonder who's making it.
That is a good. I did not look that far into this.
Because part of me wonders if Intel isn't doing this just to kind of show that they could, and then because they want to partner with somebody.
Yeah, that's
to make
possible.
Handset for them.
That's possible.
There is this gap now where Nokia used to stand.
Right.
There's someone that can take that spot.
So
it could, maybe Intel and somebody else. Because right now it's Samsung and HTC. Who else?
Samsung, LG. Nokia, I guess.
I don't know. There's not a lot of people making them these days.
Yeah. Anyway, the best part about this Intel phone, though, and you are already aware of this, but its name is the Zolo X900.
And how do you spell Zolo?
X-O-L-O.
How do you know it's pronounced Zolo, then? Maybe it's
It's Zolo. Zolo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Maybe it is being sold in India. Maybe it's only to be spoken by Tibetan throat singer.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard that's a valid marketing strategy. Yeah.
Alienate and offend.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Now getting on to the actual, real hard news here.
I drove in on my Ford F1 douchebag.
The U.S. Postal Service, the fine institution run by the United States government, says that if they don't get additional funding from Congress by May 15th, they're going to cut off Saturday delivery. So the weird thing about this is you think, oh, man, post office, they're in record bad shape. This is really the dire end for them. There's this Slate article that points out that actually the post office has made this exact same statement that we're going to cut off Saturday mail if we don't get more funding. In 1947, 1957, 1968, 1975, 1987, and 2001.
So every 10 years.
So every 10 years, they're coming out and saying, we're going to cut off Saturday delivery if we don't get more funding from Congress. And every time, eventually Congress bends once it's like, well, it's our institution, the Postal Service, we must support it. So the article actually makes some points as to why it could be different this time. We've got, first class mail is usage is declining. The post office has $238 billion of projected losses by 2020, which means they're losing $33 billion a year or will be, which seems a little dire.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Here's how you solve their problem.
Okay.
I'm going to solve the entire Postal Service.
You're going to solve the Postal Service. Do it.
Any advertising commercial mail has to pay 10 times postage.
How do
so
you
like all the stupid crap that nobody ever even looks at or
which
opens,
is like most of the mail.
The vast majority of all mail is just moving garbage from one corner of the country to the other.
How do you I guess you could say if it has commercial intent. But then what, it doesn't...
No, it's all the business reply... Hold on.
Oh, you're saying take business reply mail.
Well, it's whatever they call it.
Yeah. It would probably still
be... Because they have the prepaid stuff, and then they have the...
How about this? How about this for a rule? Any mail where you're sending the same thing to more than one person...
Yeah.
You have to pay extra for it.
Because we just had, all these notices are going out for weddings and showers and things. And
those are all you're to the individual person, aren't you saying Hello.
No, we're sending these out directly to or occupant. That's the other thing too, is if current occupant appears on the envelope,
yeah,
they pay 10 times.
That should be like 100 times.
Yeah.
And to send a letter to current occupant, you gotta pay a whole lot of money.
Here's what sucks about the Postal Service is that they raise postage for you to send, like, you know, to mail a check in to Citibank or you know, whatever your student loan payment for the next 50 years is gonna go to. So they're raising the rates for your postage so that they can accommodate more dirt farmer crap garbage mail. Like, it's seriously, right. It's like, it is the biggest scam running right now.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. if you think about how many trucks are, I mean, this stuff just goes straight into landfill. Like, they should be cutting down the trees and then just letting them rot.
Yeah.
It would be better for everybody if that was the case.
Yeah.
Because so much of it, like, the reason I'm like, you know, I'm looking over my desk trying to find an envelope that has something that I hate is because I don't want that crap going to my house. Like, I don't, you know, it's like finding a dead animal in your front yard.
I've got a PO box. It doesn't have to come into my house.
Yeah. Well, then you got to go to the post office. Then you got to go to a PO box and pick up the pile of crap and throw all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
So, like, my walk from the mailbox is like pretty much me doing a quick triage, and if it doesn't look like something legit, I just chuck it into the trash can before I even get inside.
Right. Yeah.
Because, I mean, there is so much junk. Like, I can't even imagine what some of the, and then they have, like, you know, multiple pickups and deliveries throughout the day. Like, this entire, I like the idea of the U.S. Postal Service.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's being abused by people who are taking advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really sucks because it makes the service less. Because, I mean, one of the reasons I don't like to use the mail is because every time I go to the goddamn mailbox, I want to put a bullet in my head because I got so much crap in here. I'm like, who are all these people and why are they sending? Like, yeah. There's so much stuff that comes in. I never want anything in there. It's like, yeah. It's so rare that I have a smile. You know, the stuff that makes me smile comes from the UPS guy in those Amazon boxes.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, everything else is just like, oh, and that, great. It's gotta, bills and advertisements.
I mean, that's right there. That mental association has got to be hurting the USPS as well, you know? Like,
yeah.
That they are now the carrier of large quantities of junk.
Well, here's the thing, too. If you think of it this way, it's like when you see a letter carrier shoving stuff into a mailbox, that's like a spammer, like walking into your house and just shoving a bunch of, like, Viagra ads right into your inbox. Like, that's what that guy is doing. Like, he or she driving around in the little Jeep on the wrong side of the road, weird right-hand drive. Love those guys. However, most of what they're doing is essentially just, you know, crapping on people.
Right.
I don't know. I would like to see mail be cool. It's like the gal that was talking in front of Congress, and she's like, you know, we want to have this big campaign, get people to start writing letters again.
Yeah,
it's a great idea. You know what? I'm on board, and I would probably be motivated to do it, except that the post, you know, mail sucks.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, like, as you were saying, you know, earlier in this discussion, like, it's a solvable problem.
Just raise the rate on the people who are abusing it.
Yeah.
Because the only reason it's costing, you know, that they're in such, you know, dire straits now, the volume of mail that they're handling, there is no way that even that half of that is mail that anyone actually even wants.
Yeah, yeah,
that's really sad.
It is, and it's gotten to the point. I mean, it's probably only gotten worse, right? Because it's
so, you know, here, but here's, like, the other
less
side
people are using it for those personal legitimate reasons.
Yeah, you use it when you have no other option.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing, too, is that if you consider that, like, you know, the argument on one side of this is that, well, you should privatize it. That'll solve everything. You know, then you've got that guy in the corner who's, like, beating his drum. I hate to say it, but I'm half agreeing with a drum in the corner wingnut guy just because no private,
well, once you have the viewpoint that you don't have to serve everyone equally, then you actually have the ability to filter out the junk. Yeah,
correct. You're like, oh, well, you're not gonna send me. You don't like that I'm charging you 10 times. You're gonna go use the other. Fine, like, go ahead.
Yeah.
That's a valid point. But do I think that it's gonna make things better for me not necessarily. There's a lot of things that don't work that way.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, there's some issues as to whether this cutting off Saturday delivery would even help them that much. We'll see. The deadline is May 15th, so stay tuned for some exciting developments in the Postal Service's offerings.
I can't wait.
Yeah. All right. The big topic of today and this week, and actually last week too, kind of, is Google Drive. People are talking about it.
Yeah, people like it.
People are at least excited about it, I guess, and also questioning some aspects of it. So that they've kind of like they're doing this, I guess, soft rollout in that you can actually, there is a page up. I think google.com/drive. Is that, nope, that is not going to. Try drive.google.com. Yeah, that worked. So you can go to drive.google.com, and there's a page there. There's an option to sort of opt in to getting access when access is available to you as part of your Google account and all that stuff. But, you know, they're kind of, they haven't opened it up to everyone yet. And but the premise of this service seems to be a Dropbox-like service for synchronizing files, storing files in the cloud. They're planning to give people 5 gigabytes of free storage, which is more than Dropbox, less than Microsoft's new SkyDrive offering. And there are a bunch of different sides to this story, and of course, neither of us, I don't think you're not in on the Google Drive system yet, right?
Are you kidding me? No. Absolutely not.
Okay. And I am not either. So neither of us have personal experience with it, but we've been reading over some of the stuff that people have been saying. I don't know. Where do you want to start with this?
Well, we should start with their terms and conditions that say that everything you put in your Google Drive is owned by Google, and they can do whatever the hell they want with it.
All right. So here's where I bust out.
Including copying it and creating derivative works.
Here's where I bust out a quote. From an Ars Technica article that says, quote, the EFF found little about Google's terms that was more suspicious than in any other similar cloud service. So they're doing the same thing, Dropbox and SkyDrive and whatever other cloud, you know, cloud storage services or Amazon, what's the thing called? You know, all of these other companies have similar terms in their agreements. So that's not a unique Google thing or a unique thing to this service.
Yes, it is.
How so?
They say that they don't have any liability to the other services, and that the Google one is the only one that actually says that they actually own it.
What do you mean?
Are you sure you're reading that right? I don't know if I am.
Well, so they don't claim ownership over the intellectual property. What they claim is a license to use the intellectual property, which is the same thing that the other services claim. I mean, you still own your intellectual property regardless of whether you put it in Google Drive or not.
When you upload or otherwise submit content to our services, you give Google and those we work with a worldwide license to use, host, store, reproduce, modify,
yes,
create derivative works, such as those resulting from translations, adaptations, or other changes we make so that your content works better with our services, communicate, publish, publicly perform, publicly display, and distribute such content.
Yes.
There is no way that Dropbox says that.
I mean, later in this same article, the EFF found little about those terms that was more suspicious than in any other similar cloud service. I mean, if the EFF does not think this is more suspicious than the other services, I'm gonna go with their opinion on this. They typically know what they're talking about. The rights you grant in this license are for the limited purpose of operating, promoting, and improving our services and develop new ones. But promoting is a little suspect there. But in general, I mean, that is the only thing they picked out as being iffy. I mean, the rest of this is in line with other services out there. Now, you could argue that having these sorts of terms on this sort of a service in general is a bad thing or is a questionable thing, but Google is not operating any differently than the companies that are already in this space.
Hmm.
Yeah. But there are some other issues. Which I'll go through if we want to move on from data ownership issues.
Well, hold on a second. Like on Dropbox, they're saying the terms Dropbox explicitly states that the terms of the license agreement and terms of service do not give them any rights to your data or intellectual property except in those that are needed to run the services, as explained below. So, like, the case for them would be the deduplication stuff, right? Like, that's why they have to be able to look at your data. They're programmatically looking at it to see if they can reduce its footprint.
Yeah.
But I don't see anything in the SkyDrive or Dropbox or Amazon S3 stuff that says that. And, like,
I think the Google terms are perhaps more explicit about it, but my impression is that all of the terms grant the same sort of license to the company. So the license you are granting Dropbox by putting your stuff on the Dropbox service, while maybe not as explicitly detailed, it still gives them the opportunity to do all of the things that are listed in that Google agreement.
Well, for me, to be fair, it's not really... I don't have a dog in this fight, as they say, or a horse in this race, because I don't put anything on Dropbox that is sensitive.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I don't put anything that I actually am working on there. I use it as a storage API, essentially, because I have like applications like BBEdit that can put like theme files
sync stuff
there.
Through Dropbox. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not what I'm thinking, like documents and stuff. I mean, you could do that, but I would caution against that. But you can do things like preferences.
Yeah.
Application preferences and things like that I don't really care if someone else has, you know, because I would be just as likely to put them in a GitHub repository.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff I can get on board with. But I don't know. iCloud, same thing. I mean, I use iCloud for stuff that I'm working on sometimes, but I also trust Apple more than Google. Well, that's true. I mean, I do. I mean, yeah. Just putting it out there. I mean, Google...
No,
makes money. Google doesn't sell me a service. Like,
yeah,
they're giving
make money on ads by parsing through the ways in which you are using that service. Yeah,
yeah.
So some other issues with this. There was some question as to how this is going to work with Google Docs, because basically you can put Excel and PowerPoint and Word documents into your Google Drive, but then as soon as you want to edit those things, they turn into Google Docs. Not on your local computer, but if you edit them through the web interface, they turn into Google Docs. So I think there's going to be a lot of confusion over where does Google Docs start or where does Google Docs stop and Google Drive starts.
I think it's great because there's one thing that we all know Google is great at. It's customer support.
It is explaining to people how their how their services work and how they should use them. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, have you ever talked to anybody at Google with a problem? Like, anytime something didn't work as you thought it should, it is like you're pretty much just SOL. Like,
well, I think it's
good for them that most of the time they got everything right on the first try.
Yeah, I think that's half of the problem. Like, you know, you don't talk to someone at Apple, you know. Well, I guess people have had success sending Jobs emails.
Well, that and I've also talked to iCloud and Mobile Me Tech support. I've had problems with the sync service, I've actually talked to Apple support on a couple of occasions.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think
you cannot talk to Google support.
Half of the issue. The other issue is they're not always particular. Like, you know, what was it? Google Wave. Like, no one knew how to use Google Wave or even what it was. You know, they didn't really communicate that.
Not even Google knew how to use that.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
No, that's exactly the problem with it. Yeah, is that they did not land. I loved Google Wave. I thought it was a great service.
Yeah,
I thought the technology was really cool. I thought it was a good evolution from email and messaging.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was a really smart idea. I liked the way the protocol worked because you could have like multiple, I mean, you could have like federated Wave servers.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You didn't have to use Google. You could have your own Wave server.
That is very cool. Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's kind of
like email,
like Diaspora or any other. Yeah. Or XMPP, yeah. Jabber, like all of this stuff. It's federated. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's peer versus cloud.
Right. Well, and then so one other thing here, and then we should, if we want to get in our trivia here at the end, we should save a little time. But one other thing is that I've heard reports that Google Drive has some issues or doesn't at all support symlinks. which is kind of like what I really like with Dropbox is I don't have to put all the stuff I want to sync into my Dropbox folder. I can just point from the Dropbox folder into the other places where I want that stuff synced.
Yeah.
Using symlinks, symbolic links. And so if Google Drive does not have good support for that, which it sounds like it may not, that may be a deal breaker for me.
I also really doubt that Google Drive supports extended attributes or metadata on files.
Huh. Yeah.
I bet it blows all that away.
We'll have to see. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that came up with your ARC discussion. Like,
yep.
That stuff is surprisingly nuanced.
yeah. It's not like something you can really half-ass.
Yeah. Yeah. In ways that you do not expect at all. Yeah. So we'll see how well they do with it.
I think it's good that they're fine. I mean, I don't mean to be too critical of it. I mean, there's going to be people that love it, and I get that. I have kind of mixed feelings about it like anything else, and it's certainly not something that I think I find trustworthy, but that has less to do with however the wording on their terms of service are and more that, you know, no one at Google's really ultimately accountable for any of my stuff. You know,
right. Yeah.
if I could, you know, if I had an expectation and I wasn't just being, you know, using the service so that they could spoon feed me ads, yeah, it's very different. And it's like, that's one of the reasons
it's a different type of consumer.
It's a different relationship. Yeah.
Relationship. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's, for me, it's not something that I'm all that keen on, but I definitely see that a lot of people could find some conveniences for that. I think there's a lot of people that would find Google Docs to be a excellent way to store stuff that they're working on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Well, and before we wrap up, I think you've got at least one drag queen or Android question here for me.
Yes.
So are you prepared?
I am prepared.
Okay. Right.
Once again, this segment is called Android, or no, is it drag queen or Android or drag queen? Android device or drag queen.
Okay. Yeah. Android device or drag queen. I have to decide which one it is based on Emery's clue.
Yes. Well, it's not so much a clue as the name.
As the actual name. Yeah.
I will be giving, and as people will remember from last week, most drag queens have two names, like a first name and a last name. So in the case of the Android handsets, I mean, obviously none of them. Well, I should
say Zolo.
Yeah, the Zolo X900. The Zolo X900.
Zolo. The amazing Zolo.
It's Zolo.
All right.
The amazing Zolo. So I'm going to name one of the names. So in the case of, like, you know, the Samsung Galaxy, you know, I would use the name Galaxy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That would be an obvious one, but yes.
Yes. Yes. So the one we're going to lead off with tonight, I think, let me think. I think we're going to do two.
Okay.
The first one. Sensation.
Android.
Absolutely right.
Yes. All right. All right.
Very, very good.
That was, I had to think about that one a little bit though. That's okay. Right.
Next one. We're going to do one more. Okay.
Yeah.
Circuit.
I'm going to go with Android.
Drag queen.
God, I knew it.
Circuit Mom.
Uh-huh.
Was the name of a drag star from, I believe, Atlanta, who had a stage show in Chicago in the late 90s.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. That's that one was tough, but all right. That's our weekly edition of Android or drag queen. Tune in for future episodes to hear more.
Yeah, and as it's not as simple as you would think.
It's really not. It's
it's pretty great.
Difficult.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that will do it for this episode of the Hell Yeah Show. If you want to contact us, the email is show@hellyeah.com. If you want to visit us online, the website is show.hellyeah.com.
Or on the Twitter machine, twitter.com/hellyeahshow, or send us a tweet @hellyeahshow.
All right. And with that, we will see you next week.
Word.